book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, we like to read the first three verses. The former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also, that is, the apostles, he showed himself alive after the passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. This is Luke's introduction to the book of Acts. The former treatise I have made, or referring to a written work, which is referring to the book of Luke, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. He is referring, this man Theophilus, to the works and teachings of Jesus Christ in the book of Luke. In these verses, Acts 1 verses 1 through 3, Luke is giving a summary of Christ's life, his teachings, his miracles, his sufferings, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, until the day he ascended up in heaven. And notice, it is significant that he did not say, of all that Jesus did and taught. What he said was of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. The word began gives us the implication is he's not done teaching. He's not done doing. The earthly ministry of Christ only lasted a little over 3 years. But the book of Acts furnishes us with an account of his continued ministry through his people, through his churches. We see in our text, and we want to take our thought from these words, in verse 3, he showed, or he revealed, and manifested himself alive. He manifested, he revealed himself victorious and real. How did he do that? By many, numerous, infallible, that is, unmistakable proofs or evidences. Now, we realize that these words speak of Christ's appearances to the apostles following his resurrection, by which he proved himself with infallible proofs that he was alive, that he had victory over death and the grave, thereby teaching, or thereby proving what he had previously taught, and thereby proving who he was. It is also interesting to note that Luke opens his gospel in much the same way as he does here in the book of Acts. Notice if we turn to Luke chapter 1, we'll read verses 1 through 4, and then we want to call your attention to some words. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, notice, most excellent Theophilus. There's that man again. Same one he addresses in Acts chapter 1. That thou mightst know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So both Luke and Acts are addressed to this man, Theophilus, and we'll speak more concerning him this evening, Lord willing. But notice some things here in Luke chapter 1. Remember, back in Acts chapter 1, he hath showed himself by many infallible proofs. And in verse 1 of Luke chapter 1, he refers to things which are most surely believed among us. In verse 2, we have that word eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses. In verse 3, that thou mightest know the certainty, or verse 4, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things. So we have belief, eyewitnesses, know for certainty. You put all that together with, he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. We read in Hebrews 11, in verse 1, that faith is the evidence or the proof of things not seen. I agree with Brother Mark Smith that I do not need science or anything else, as far as that goes, to confirm what the Bible says. Faith is evidence of things not seen. Faith is proof. But in light of that, that we do not need evidence, is it not wonderful that the Lord does show himself by many infallible truths, which strengthens our belief, which causes us to be eyewitnesses? There are many things in the Word of God that you and I have been eyewitnesses of. Not only do we have the privilege of reading them, we have been eyewitnesses. We have experienced it, which gives us a deeper understanding, which enables us to know with even more certainty. And all of this goes into making life more enjoyable, making life more victorious, God proving himself to us, should encourage us to further and more fervent belief. It should encourage us and trust us and cause us to trust him more. It should make our love more fervent for him. It should encourage greater obedience. It should certainly encourage greater surrender to the Lord when he shows himself to us by many infallible proofs. And he does. I don't believe there's a day that goes by that God does not show himself by many infallible proofs. Sadly, many who profess salvation are like the scribes and Pharisees who, having witnessed many of the miracles of Christ, said, "We want a sign." He'd work a miracle and they would say, "We want a sign, we want proof." They were oblivious. They were oblivious to what was going on all around them. And sadly, this explains the life of many. They're oblivious. They were living in ignorance of what was being shown them over and over and over again. They were living in ignorance of what was right in front of them. And you and I today can live beyond all doubt. Faith by itself, without any proof, should enable us to live without any doubt. But then when you add to it that God proves himself to us, he shows himself by many infallible proofs. Oh, how sure, how certain we ought to be. I want to speak this morning on beyond all doubt. Beyond all doubt. There are a lot of things that I have absolutely no doubt concerning. I mean zero. No doubt whatsoever. And these are good things. First of all, the Lord has, I believe it by faith, but even beyond that, the Lord has proven himself to be the Savior of sinners. He has shown that to me, he has shown that to you by many infallible proofs. For salvation, many times I heard that Jesus was the Savior of sinners. I heard people testify that Jesus saved them. And to be honest with you, it didn't mean a thing to me. It meant absolutely nothing. I lived my life in the realm of spiritual death. My affections, my understanding, my will regarding the things of God were all dead. I lived my life in bondage to sin. Again, my affections, my understanding, my will regarding the things of God were all in the chains of sin and Satan. I could not set myself free. And over, I would hear how that Jesus was what I needed. But again, it meant nothing to me. I continued to live my life in enmity towards God, fleeing from God, hiding from God. And while I was fleeing and while I was hiding, occasionally, again, I would hear how that I needed to come to him, how I needed to trust him for salvation. But again, it meant nothing. It meant absolutely nothing to me. I continued to live my life, walking according to the course of this world, alienated from God, without the peace of God, guilty before God, condemned before God. And again, I would hear on occasion that Jesus was the Savior of sinners. And I would hear how that Jesus saved others. And I would hear that Jesus was what I needed. But it meant nothing. It meant nothing to me. Then one day, while in that condition, the Lord came where I was, and he showed himself by infallible proof, unmistakable proof. He imparted spiritual life to my dead soul, and as a result, for the first time in my life, I saw and I felt my condition before God. As a result, this Jesus that I had heard about before as my only hope for deliverance, I realized that that was true. It was being shown to me by an infallible proof that Jesus Christ was my only hope of deliverance. And I heard that gracious invitation, not from a preacher, not from anybody else, but from the Lord Himself, come. And as a result of the spiritual life imparted, I couldn't do anything but come. And I came. And I was gloriously saved. And I was set free from Satan. Set free from sin. And I mean immediately. It wasn't a week later. It was immediate. I felt the freedom from Satan. The freedom from sin, the freedom from darkness, and the freedom from the wrath to come. If you would have asked me to explain it, I couldn't explain it. I can now, but I couldn't then. But it was infallibly proven to me that Jesus Christ was the Savior of sinners. When the Lord reached down and pulled me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock, it was proven to me at that very moment that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. It was proven to me that day that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. And ever since that day, ever since the day the Lord saved me, ever since the day He took me off the broad road that leads to destruction and set me on the narrow road, I have fully believed without any doubt whatsoever, and I have known fully that the Lord is the one and only Savior of sinners, and I can say that without any doubt whatsoever. Because it's been proven. It's been proven to me. It's been proven in my life. Before that, I did not have faith. And again, people were telling me all the time, you need the Lord. It meant nothing. Nothing. It angered me. What makes you think that I need the Lord? But then, it was proven. And the Lord gave me faith, because faith is the evidence. It is the proof. If you are here today without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can tell you, I can preach to you with full conviction, with absolute certainty, that Jesus saves. There's no doubt in my mind. And I can tell you today with absolute conviction, with absolute certainty, that He is able to save you. That He is able to save you right now. I know that today because I read it in His Word. But I also know that today because it has been proven to me by infallible proofs over and over and over again. I am certain that Jesus saves based upon the fact that He saved me. Also based upon the fact that's what His Word says. And I believe it. I am certain, based upon the fact that I have seen Him save others. I have seen Him save individuals who were cursing, and then all of a sudden they stopped and they began to weep. Because God was saving their soul. Seen Him save others. And someone can curse, and they can talk in very blasphemous way. And I can pray to myself, and you can pray to yourself, oh God, save their soul. And I know that He can. It's been proven over and over and over again. They can get angry. I have a particular neighbor that gets a little disturbed. I wouldn't say he's angry, but he gets a little bit disturbed every time I bring it up. But I know how angry I was. I know how angry I was the very second the Lord saved me. And I know without any doubt in my mind that the Lord can save them. It's been shown us by many infallible proofs. Secondly, He has infallibly proven His love. I heard many times, and we would mock, but I heard many times in my life about God's great love. You know, it amazes me. I'll never get over it. Because in my early teenage years, until the Lord saved me, I mocked at anybody who would even mention God. Didn't believe it. And I heard many times about God's love. Well, you know, Danny, that God so loved you that He sent His Son into the world. That meant nothing to me. It meant nothing to me. God so loved us that He sent His Son to pay our sin debt. And I heard about the love of God in sending Jesus Christ to the cross and laying down His life for guilty sinners. I heard many times of His love, but it meant nothing. It had absolutely no effect upon me. It certainly did not affect, did not change the way that I lived my life. But that very day that He came where I was and saved my soul, He not only proved to me that day that He is the Savior of sinners, He infallibly proved to me that day that He loved me. It was proven. He did not start to love me that day. I learned that later. But it was unmistakably proven to me that day that He loves me. The day the Lord came to me while I was in my sins and received me to Himself, He proved to me that He loves me. And now, when I hear about the love of God in sending His Son, when I hear about the love of Christ in going to the cross and paying our sin debt, it thrills our soul. There's no doubt in my mind, I have absolutely no doubt, that Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven for me. I have no doubt in my mind that Jesus Christ went to the cross for me. I have no doubt in my mind, I don't fully understand it other than He wanted to, but I have no doubt in my mind that He loves me. It's been proven over and over and over and over again. He proves it every single day. And now these things are real. Faith gives us the proof. But then God comes along and proves it to us over and over. Do you realize that every time God allows you to breathe, He is showing His love? Every time God manifests Himself in any way, every time God makes provision, He is showing His love for you. Not only that, He sent me, He has given me a love letter comprised of many books, the Word of God. He proves it over and over and over that He loves me. Every time I read God's Word, it's proof that He loves me. So ever since the day the Lord saved me, He has been showing me by many infallible proofs that he loves me. He comes and he visits with me. That's love. Even when my spirit is not right, he comes and he visits. And he comes and he talks. And he comes and he invites himself, or invites me to himself. That's all proof of his love. He comes and he embraces me. He comes and he stops me. We get some ideas in our minds. Well, I'm going to do such and such. And God says, no, you're not. And he stops us. That's love. He tells me over and over in so many different ways of his love. In times of trial and affliction and sickness and heartache, times of distress and times of loneliness, God proves over and over that he loves. There's no doubt in my mind. I don't fully understand it, but I'm absolutely certain that God loves even me. And today, I can live beyond all doubt that he loves me. Today, I can feel the power. This is true every day. We can live our lives feeling the power, the fervency, the tenderness, the compassion, the long suffering. And I get hung up on God's long suffering many times. To me, that is one of the most amazing things about God. The long suffering of the Lord. And I'm not talking about with others, I'm talking about with myself. I mean, if we know anything about ourselves, the very fact that we're still here is proof of God's long suffering. Think of his mercy. He has, by many infallible proofs, shown me his love for me. People will say, prove God, I can't prove him to you. Just like no one could prove him to me. But I know with absolute certainty. I haven't experienced Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. But I know it without any doubt. Because of faith. Faith is the proof. But there are many things we have faith in, but God has even given us evidence. He has also infallibly proven his power. Ever since the day the Lord saved us, he has been showing us by many infallible proofs that he can and will do as he pleases, and that he's in absolute control. How many times has God proven that to you? Well, I'm going to do such and such, and you don't. Well, such and such is going to happen, and it doesn't. I mean, how many times does God prove to us over and over he's in control? Every day. Every day. But many, like the scribes and Pharisees, prove it, Lord. We need a sign. There's signs all around you. There's proof all around you. How many times God, the Bible tells us it's so, and we believe it, based upon that. But how many times has God proven to us that he's the master of all things? How many times has God shown us by many infallible proofs that in absolutely impossible situations, he is able? I mean, the Bible tells us that, and we believe it. But it's been shown to us by infallible proofs that it's so. How many times by infallible proofs has he shown to us that he is the master of the wind, that he is the great physician, that He is a wise and prudent friend. How many times has God proven His friendship to you and I? Over and over. How many times has He proven to us by infallible proofs that He is the way to God, that He is a way from everything that is contrary to God, and that He is the way through this world? The Bible tells us that. We believe it based on that. But how many times has God shown us that is so by infallible proofs? There ought not be a more assured people anywhere than God's people. How many times has God proven Himself that He is more than anything and that He is greater than everything else because of who Jesus is? You and I can live beyond all doubt, knowing for certain that in Him there is light greater than any darkness. We know that from the Word of God. We know that because He's proven it to us over and over and over again. How many times we can know for certain that in Him is a healing greater than any hurt, greater than any disease, greater than any sickness. It's been proven. Over and over. In Him is strength greater than any weakness. In Him is rest greater than any weariness. In Him is relief greater than any anguish that you and I can feel. In Him is joy greater than any sorrow that you and I can feel. We know that because God's Word says it. But it means so much more when He comes to us and proves it to us. And He does so every day if we're paying attention. In Him is encouragement greater than any discouragement. Oh, how many times He's proven that. In Him there is peace greater than any upheaval or any chaos that might be going on. In Him there's victory greater than any defeat you and I will ever experience. I can live every day. I should live every day. I don't. But I should live every day beyond all doubt that He is. What a difference that makes in our life. Fourthly and lastly, He has infallibly proven His sufficiency. He has shown me by infallible proofs that He's everything. He's everything. When I needed a Savior from sin, He was that Savior. No one else was. He was that Savior. When I needed righteousness, where did I find it? In Him. When I needed forgiveness, I found it in Him. When I needed peace, I found it in Him. When I needed light, I found it in Him. And He's been proving that to me every single day. In light of all the proof, why would I go look anywhere else? He has infallibly proven to me that He is everything I need. I do not understand. I see it happen all the time. You tell somebody, it can be a child of God or a lost person, and you begin to tell them, God has what you need, and they get mad. You're dismissing my situation. No. That's not what I'm doing at all. I'm telling you what will help you. how anybody, especially a child of God, can get angry at somebody saying, God has what you need. That's true. I mean, is that false? Is that a false statement? No, it's true. It's always true. Don't get angry when someone says that. They may say it in the wrong tone. Don't worry about it. Rejoice that it's true. Everything I need is in Him. The day He saved me, He proved to me that I was everything I needed. That I needed. The world, of course, is a very barren place spiritually. It's a very dangerous place. It's a very unsettled place for the child of God. And yet the Lord comes to us, and by many infallible proofs, He shows us who He is, and that He is our provider and our sustainer. You know, I rejoice, and I truly do. You may not believe it, but I truly rejoice. And I think back on these days many times. There were times where we could not pay our bills, but we never paid one late. Never. Perhaps that's not true of you. Perhaps you have paid bills late. I'm just telling you. We didn't have the money to pay bills, and never one was late. There were times when we didn't know how we were going to do, buy the kids clothes for school or whatever. But it always got done. Always. And God proved to me over and over and over again, trust me, God is our provider. And I'll be honest with you, I almost feel sorry for people who have not had those experiences in their life. Today, we try to bail young people out of those experiences. Oh, they're having a hard time. We better give them some money. Why? Did somebody come and give you money every time you needed it? I hope not. You need to learn where your provision comes from. There's no doubt in my mind that God can and will provide. He's done it over and over. In the book of Acts, we preached on this one time years and years ago here. But in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 16, the day of Pentecost is happening. There's discussion amongst the people about what's going on. Some are saying these are drunk. They were trying to figure out what was going on. And Peter, in Acts 2 and verse 16, said, "But this is that." I love that statement. This is that. "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel," referring to Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. What's Peter doing? He's saying, "I know what this is. I read about this back in the book of Joel. And this is that." Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing to read the Word of God and then a week later something happens and you can say, "Praise God, this is that." That's God showing Himself, proving Himself with infallible proofs. And God provides our needs. We can almost get caught up to the third heaven and say, "This is that. This is that." That's why we need to read our Bibles. That's why we need to know our Bibles. When things happen, we can say, "This is that." It's an infallible proof. There should not be a more certain, a more sure, a more confident, a more expectant people than the people of God. God has granted us faith, which is proof. But in addition to strengthen our faith, God has shown Himself to us by many infallible proofs. Someone will say, well, how do you know that God will do such and such? Well, we can know it from what this book says. But if you've got time, I can tell you how He did it for me. And we can all say that. Because He has proven Himself by many infallible proofs. Whatever the situation, whatever the problem, whatever the difficulty, has not God proven Himself to you? He has. Trust Him. Lean upon Him. Confide in Him. Wait upon Him. Follow Him. He has shown Himself to be, by many infallible truths. And now you and I can live beyond all doubt. In knowing these things, how can you not love Him more? Because they become real to your life. How can you not desire and long for fellowship with Him? How can you not be sensitive to His voice, to His leading? You know, in the book of Malachi, it's in the context of giving tithes and offerings. But in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, the Lord challenged the robbers of God. And that's what you are if you don't tithe or give an offering. You're a robber of God. I can't think of much worse than being a robber of God. You know what? You couldn't be a member of this church if you were found guilty of robbing a bank. You'd be disciplined. And I want to tell you, I'm getting off on another subject. I want to tell you something worse than robbing a bank. Robbing God. That's a little sermonette. But in the context, Malachi 3 and verse 10, he challenged them, prove me now. Bring the tithes and bring the offerings and prove me now. That's a challenge from God. Prove me. Put my word to the test. Don't be afraid to test God's word. God says, prove me. I'll show you. I'll show you who I am. You just step out and do what you're supposed to do, and I'll prove myself. I'm so thankful for faith. It's sad. My neighbor, her sister died suddenly. There's no faith. It's so sad. No faith whatsoever. I'm thankful that God imparted faith into my soul. I'm thankful that I can read this book, and though I may not understand what it says, I do believe what it says. And I don't even have to be able to explain it. I believe it. I'm thankful for faith. But I'm also thankful that throughout my life, God has come to me directly, personally, and proven Himself over and over and over again. And I have no doubt I have no doubt. We can live with absolute certainty that this book is true. And we can live with absolute certainty because God has shown it to us over and over and over again. What a wonderful God that we have. The things that He began to do and teach, He hasn't stopped. He's still doing. He's still teaching. And because He is still doing and because He's still teaching, you and I can go from here with absolute certainty. Absolute certainty that God is who He says He is. Brother Larry, if you come, lead us in singing.